For Shabbos Parshas Boi, there is a sicha in Sefer HaSichis from Tavshin and Aleph. In the sicha, the Rebbe asks the following question. The Parsha begins with Boi El Pari, where God says to Moshe, come to Pari. And he says, come to Pari, not go to Pari. But the question is that the Parsha of Boi is unique in that it describes Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Parsha before, the Parsha of Eira, speaks about the preparation for Yetzias Mitzrayim. How Pari was weakened and Mitzrayim was weakened through the Makis, and all of this led eventually to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Parsha after Boi, Parsha B'Shalach, talks about what happened when the Jews were already outside of Mitzrayim on their way to Matan Torah. But Parshas Boi is the Parsha in which the actual going out of Mitzrayim is described. So the essence of Parshas Boi is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And yet, we find that the name of the Parsha is Boi El Pari, which seems to imply a strength and an authority to Pari. And Moshe has to go to Pari and plead with him or threaten him or convince him to let the Jews go. And secondly, instead of starting with the Yetzia, with the actual exodus, leaving Mitzrayim, Parshas Boi contains at its beginning the last three makas. And it would seem that it would be neater and make more sense if all the makas, all 10 makas, all the 10 plagues were described in one parsha, and then the new parsha should begin with the actual exodus. But why have three makas described in the parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Rebbe quotes a Zohar on Parshas Boi. The Zohar says, why does it say Boi El Pari and not Lech El Pari? Why does it say come to Pari instead of go to Pari? So the Medrash says, the Zohar says that Moshe was afraid to go because Pari was so powerful. The klippa of Pari was so strong that God had to say to him, come, I will go with you. We will go together to Pari and wage war against this klippa in order to completely destroy it. Which explains why in this parsha, where it says Boi El Pari, it is not followed by any message. In Parshas Va'eira, where it says Boi El Pari, that's an introduction to what Moshe is supposed to say to Pari. Boi El Pari v'dibarta elov, go to Pari and say to him. Or Boi El Pari v'amarta elov. Whereas in this parsha, Boi El Pari is not followed with any message. Instead, God says, come to Pari, I will harden his heart, and he won't let the Jews. So what is Moshe supposed to say? There is no message. So this is an independent event, a separate event, that God says to Moshe, Boi El Pari, come to Pari, and that itself is the event. Meaning, and as the Zohar goes on to say, that God took Moshe into chamber within chamber, idrin basar idrin, to chamber within chamber, getting closer and closer to the core, to the strength, and to the permanence of this klippa of Mitzrayim, of Pari, in order to break the klippa at its source. And so not only did God take Moshe into the palace, into the house of the king, but in the house itself he went to the innermost chambers where the king is most secure, where it's his dwelling place, and there he was nullified, there he was Mizbatel. And we see how the Torah describes this bittul when the Torah says that Vayokam Pari Laila, Pari got up in the middle of the night, which is already a disturbance of the order in which kings live. that it is not normal for a king to have to get up in the middle of the night, and all of his servants. And as Rashi says, he ran around Mechazer al Botei Avodah u'mamidon. He ran around from house to house among his servants to arouse them, to wake them up. Then Vayikra l'meishu la'arim. So again Rashi says he went looking from door to door, asking, where is Moshe, where is Aaron? So all of this shows that the permanence and the security and the established reality of the Klipa of Padei was so disrupted and so disturbed that he had to run around, the opposite of security and the opposite of strength. He had to run around himself from door to door looking to save his own existence, to save his life. As it says in the end, Hispalulu Allah Ishalei Omos. That Padei asked that he shouldn't be among the firstborn who are going to die. So he was literally afraid that he would die, not only lose his kingdom, not only stop being a king, but he would stop being. And so we see that the emphasis here is that Bay El Padei, while Padei is in his strongest position, when the Klipa is at its strongest, that's where Moshe has to go to destroy him. And that's why Moshe hesitated. So God said, Bay El Padei, come with me, we will go together. God himself, not a messenger, not a malach, but God himself will go to destroy the power source of this Klipa. So we see here that the purpose of these makis, the purpose of these plagues, was not only to prevail on Padei to let the Yidden go. It wasn't all for the sake of getting Jews out of Egypt. In addition to getting the Yidden out of Egypt, there was also this project, this need to destroy Mitzrayim, to break the Klipa until Mitzrayim itself starts to recognize godliness. And where does that have to happen? It has to happen in the core, at the strongest place, the strongest fortified position of the Klipa. We find that all of this, the whole story of Mitzrayim and coming out of Mitzrayim, all began when God was promising to Avraham that Eretz Yisrael would be the Jewish land. Which means to say that in order for Eretz Yisrael to become our land, God wanted that we should go through a process by which we, through our effort, and not only as a gift from above, but that through our effort we should make Eretz, which is usually an earthy, unholy thing, we should make it Eretz Yisrael, we should make it a holy land. We should turn earthiness into heavenliness. So right at the beginning of the promise concerning the Yerusha, of the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, God says to Avraham, you should know that your children will be enslaved by a foreign nation, and that then I will judge that nation and they will be punished. And then your children will come out with a great wealth, and they will have, and then this land that I'm promising you will become theirs, and they will settle in the land. So part of Yetzias Mitzrayim was a preparation for coming into Eretz Yisrael, which means turning Eretz Yisrael into a holy land. And not only Eretz Yisrael itself, but that eventually Eretz Yisrael will spread throughout the whole world, so that all the lands will become holy, meaning that in all the lands we will be able to see godliness, we'll be able to see the Creator affecting His creation, as it says, V'nigla kved Hashem v'zol kol bosa, that not only Jews in Eretz Yisrael will see godliness, but that God will be revealed to all flesh. And in order for this to happen, there first has to be the Golus Mitzrayim. First, the Jews have to come down Eretz Lo Lahem, to a land that is not theirs. Eretz Lo Lahem means a land that does not belong to Jewishness. It doesn't belong to godliness. On the contrary, it fights against godliness. It fights against Yisroel, against Jews. She metzido liYisroel. And being that it is the lowest and the most corrupt of lands, it is the lowest of the low. And even so, as the Jews come down into Mitzrayim, the Jew remains godly, vayichi Yaakov, that true life of Yaakov, a Yaakovdike life, was possible even in Mitzrayim. But that doesn't change Mitzrayim. So beyond that, we have to also affect Mitzrayim by bringing a bitter, a purification of Mitzrayim, and that comes in two general forms. Number one, in every klipa, there's a certain amount of holiness, sparks of holiness, that have fallen into the klipa. So the first stage of bitter, the first stage of purification of anything that is unholy, is that we release the godliness that is there. You release the sparks of holiness that are there. How do we see this concerning Mitzrayim? It says that when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, v'gam erev rav ola itam, that there was an erev rav, that the wise people of Mitzrayim converted and went with the Yidden out of Mitzrayim and to Matan Torah. So the good part rose from the evil, separated from the evil, and left Mitzrayim along with the Jews. So those were the sparks, the Netzutzei Kedusha, that came out with the Yidden. The same is also true with physical objects, that the potential godliness, the use of all the wealth of Mitzrayim, Vayishalu miMitzrayim kwe kesev achleizav, they borrowed, they took from Egypt gold and silver. That also was taking the useful, the potential godly, and raising it up to where its godliness is released from the klipa, and it can express itself in a godly way, can be used for a godly purpose, like the gold and the silver that was used to build the Mishkan. That's the first stage of refining or being mevarer a klipa. The second stage is that those parts of the klipa that cannot be used, they can't be elevated to holiness, they have no potential function in the world of holiness, then the positive resolution of this kind of klipa is that it is destroyed and broken. Shvirosam zeu takanosam. That its non-existence, dissolving it and destroying it, that increases holiness in the world. As it says concerning tzur, tire, it says that when one is full, when tzur is full, Yerushalayim is empty. So that that Yerushalayim can't be complete until tzur has been destroyed. Or leinis malo tzur ela mechurbona shel Yerushalayim. Tzur grew through the destruction of Yerushalayim. So when, in order for Yerushalayim to be complete, tzur has to stop existing. So that in order for kedusha to be in its full strength, the klipa has to lose its strength completely. So we find also in the makis themselves, in the plagues, we find these two things. On the one hand, Boyo Pari, Moshe is told to go to Pari and to say to him, Koy Omar Hashem, Shalachas Ami V'yavduni, V'im Moin Atu L'shalei Achini Anechi Negif. The purpose of the makkah was in order to prevail on Pari that he should send the Jews out of Mitzrayim. In other words, whatever goodness Pari has should come to the surface, and he should not only allow Jews to go, but send Jews out of Mitzrayim. But then there's another function of the makkah, of the plague, and this is where God says to Moshe, Boyo Pari, go to Pari, ki ani echbadati es li beves lev avodov laman shisi esei se'elu bekirbe. Go to Pari, and I will harden his heart, so that he won't let the Jews go. And what is the purpose of this? The purpose of this is to break Mitzrayim until Mitzrayim says the Adaitam ki ani Hashem, that there's nothing left of the clip of Mitzrayim that resists God, but instead the result is that that they will know that God is God. So after this we have the Yetzias Mitzrayim. After the clip is broken, then there can be a true exodus from Egypt, a true leaving of Egypt, because there is nothing left to Egypt that should be again an interference with holiness or with Yidden. And then from the land of Mitzrayim, Meitzah meaning constriction, narrowness, and so on, we go to Eretz Tova Urechava, the opposite of Meitzah, the opposite of restriction. We go to a land that is open and wide, a true freedom. And that is when Eretz Yisrael becomes a dira for God. It becomes a dwelling place for God. Now we'll understand why the name of the parsha, which describes Yetzias Mitzrayim, is Boy or Pari, including also the end of the parsha, where the parsha speaks about the mitzvah of tefillin, which didn't really become a mitzvah until the Jews came into the land. When the Jews came to the land, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, that's when tefillin became a mitzvah. Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving behind, getting out of that condition that resists holiness in its truest and fullest form, can only come about when the menagid, when the opposition to holiness is completely broken. Not so much when you take the holiness out of the unholy, the first part of the bitter, but more in the breaking of that part of the klipa that can't be used for holiness, the useless part. And this is hinted at by naming the parsha Bo Pari, to tell us that the essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the main part of true exodus, is the breaking of Pari, that is the useless part of Pari. And that's why Boy El Pari, come to Pari, Pari in his strength, in his security, and there wage war with him, not in order to get him to let the Jews go, but in order to break the klipa itself. As the Rebbe will give an example later, there's a person who has a taiva. He has a passion for a sin. In that passion, there are two parts. There's the passion itself, the fact that a person is passionate and enjoys pleasure. And then there's the particular kind of behavior that he imagines will bring him pleasure. And that particular image, that view, is an unholy one. So concerning the taiva itself, concerning the passion itself, that's a neutral thing, and it could be used for holiness. It could be passionately good or passionately holy. But the form, the particular expression of pleasure that the person is imagining, which is sinful, that is useless. And that has to be rejected completely and destroyed, that there should be nothing left of it. Whereas a person should not destroy his capacity for pleasure. So what brings the true geula? What brings the true exodus from Mitzrayim? Not so much the fact that Mitzrayim could be good on occasion, but that part of Mitzrayim that can't be good is completely removed and destroyed. Actually, during the Persian Gulf War, the Rebbe said a similar thing concerning the security and the strength and well-being of Yerushalayim, how that is dependent on the destruction of the security and the well-being of Iraq. of Hussein. And that when he had to go hiding, he had to leave the palace and go hiding in the bunkers and go from one bunker to another, that was like Pari running around from door to door trying to find Moshe and Aaron, which was the destruction of his security, which took away the very core of his strength. And that's why the parasha ends with the mitzvah of tefillin. The sefer goes on to say that the mitzvah of tefillin represents all mitzvahs, and all mitzvahs we will fulfill properly and fully when we are settled into the Paltarin Shel Melech, when we are settled into Eretz Yisrael, the palace of the king of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, and then we will be able to fulfill all the mitzvahs in their fullest in the fullest way, kemitzvah Tzonecha, the way God really wants. Concerning our goals today, the Rebbe says that in Aveda, the lesson that we get from this from the Parsha is that Eretz Yisrael is different from all other lands, Mitzrayim, Bavel, and so on, in that Eretz Yisrael is holiness, and other lands are chol, weekday, secular. And the idea is that we have to turn the secular into holiness, bring the holiness of Eretz Yisrael to every other land. And that is that in addition to doing mitzvahs wherever we go, doing what is holy even in a land that is not holy, in addition to that, there is also the avoda of taking that which is secular, uvdin b'chol, the weekday things, and using them in such a way that they too become holy. Kol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim and b'chol d'vachecha d'eil. And through that, we turn every land into an Eretz Yisrael. Now, in addition to those things about Mitzrayim and Bavel, Mitzrayim are those lands that restrict us from Kedusha, and Bavel are those lands that confuse us. Bavel meaning confusion. Those parts of Mitzrayim and those parts of Bavel that cannot be used with Shem Shamayim, you can't use them for a mitzvah. The only way to correct them is by nullifying them. As, for example, mentioned before, a person who has the capacity for pleasure but takes on a negative or unkosher form of pleasure. He wants to find his pleasure in a sin. So the capacity for pleasure itself, you have to turn into good. You have to rechannel it. Whereas the particular sinful image or picture that the desire is looking for, that has to be destroyed completely. That unholy thought, that sinful possibility, has to be removed from the world and from the person's mind and heart completely, like the burning of the red heifer, so that there's nothing left but the ash, and the ash itself is neutral. It's a natural substance, and that is the capacity for pleasure. That can remain, but the form that it took on, which was unholy, that form has to be burned and destroyed. So a sinful thought should never happen again, but the pleasure behind the sinful thought should now be channeled into holiness. And so it is that the Aveda of breaking and removing completely the evil that we learn from Bei El Pari, where God takes Moshe to chamber within chamber in order to wage war against Pari, this tells us that primarily, right at the start, we have to attack the unholiness where it is strongest, in its most secure position. And as a result, if we can weaken that, then all the details and all the rest of the klipa will fall away by itself. And so, concerning our own Aveda, improving ourselves, the first thing that we have to do to improve ourselves is to completely break the complacency, the security, that part of the unholiness within us that is strongest. And when we break the stronghold, then the rest falls away. Now, it's possible that if we try or consider attacking the unholiness in its most fortified, in its strongest position, that we could be intimidated and be afraid. Afraid to make this frontal attack on the klipa in its strongest position. So to this, God says to the little bit of Moshe within each of us, Boy El Pare, God takes us. He doesn't just send us. He says, come, let us together wage war against the klipa, that God himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atme, comes to take us out of this klipa, to take us out of Mitzrayim. Another thing. This Mitzrayim and Bavel, the restrictions and the confusions that a Jew might have, is different for each person. There is the person for whom the constriction and the confusion expresses itself in his Yiddishkeit, in his mitzvahs, in his Avedas Hashem. He feels restricted and he feels confused concerning his performance of mitzvahs, concerning his feelings for God, his Ava, his Yira. But then there's another person for whom the effect of Golus is not so much on his Yiddishkeit, but it's on his physical life. He is restricted and he is confused because of his physical conditions. He doesn't have peace of mind, he doesn't have parnasa, and so on. Since we are all God's children, Nar Yisrael Ve'ehaveil, God says, Jews are my child, and I love them. And it is the nature of a father that when he hears his child cry, even if he's crying over insignificant, unimportant things, and that's because he's a child, so he does get upset about insignificant things, yet the father hastens to fulfill the child's desire before he tries to re-educate the child to appreciate or be concerned with more important things. So the same is true when a Jew feels restricted or confused because he's lacking what he needs in the physical. God rushes to fulfill that desire and to remove the constriction, to remove the confusion, so that the Jew can serve God through contentment and through comfort. As it says, Peseach es yadecha, u'masbi'a l'chol chai rotzin. God opens his hand and provides for all living things what they want. Kol echad l'fi ritzenei. Each person according to what it is that he wants. And the emphasis is l'chol chai rotzin. It's not... The person is being described as a chai, not as a medaber. He's not yet on the level of medaber. He's not yet on the level of the human. He is still on the level of the animal. His desires and his needs are still animalistic. And yet God fulfills l'chol chai ratzin. He satisfies the desire in order to free the person to be able to go on to bigger and higher things. And if this is true, concerning those things that we ask of God that are really not so important, it is certainly true when the son demands of his father that which is valid and true, and that is that we demand that God take every Jew and himself, God himself, the Shechina, out of Golus. Then it is certain that God will rush to fulfill the child's demand. The demand of every Jew, of all generations, to take us out of Golos permanently, that there should never be another Golos. And even if we are not yet on the highest level of godliness, we find that Podel Rikimas Yisrael Mikol Tzareisov, and God takes Jews out of all of their problems, and afterwards Vehu Yifte Es Yisrael Mikol Avei Meisov. And after he has solved our problems, then he will solve our spiritual problems. He will take us away from sin. So we don't have to wait until every Jew is a tzaddik. God should take us out of our suffering immediately, and then we will correct our sins and do the proper tshuva.